This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on Tuesday? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, Facebook page. You're listening to us on my own social media page at Joe Gaither 6 on the Twitter machine. Hanging out with us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're live here, ready for another edition of the show, ready to get going on the third Saturday of October week with our man Will Miller today. You can find Will Miller at Real WB Miller on the Twitter machine, writer for BamaCentral.com. Follow him everywhere you get your Alabama coverage. We want to first, before we get into the show, say thank you to our sponsor. We're not in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios today, but we love Derek Daniel and him taking care of the program so well. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. And of course, we want to acknowledge and recognize and thank our newest sponsor, Strength Roofing and Siding. They're backed by 45 years of expertise. They got tens of thousands of roof installs, over 400 five-star customer reviews across the company. You can call Strength Roofing and Siding for all of your roofing needs at 205-858-9050. Give them a call today. You'll have a free an employee come out, give you a free inspection. They'll fly a drone over your house. Make sure you're ready for the storm season. If you just had a storm, if you just want some peace of mind, call Strength Roofing and Siding today at 205-858-9050. So today we're going to have a lot of fun with Will Miller. You can follow him, like I said, at Real WB Miller on the Twitter machine. We're going to take a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'll talk about his experience up in Columbia this past weekend just a little bit. We'll talk about what was said yesterday in the Malmore Athletic Facility from Coach DeBoer, Grubb, and Womack. And we'll start getting the week rolling on this Tennessee game. So good morning, Will. Thank you so much for your time. How we doing, sir?
Morning, Joe. I'm good. I appreciate you having me and really looking forward to this week's game. It's been a tough part of the Alabama schedule, no question, and it's not over yet, but you've got the backdrop of back home. This weekend should be a really, really fun one.
Absolutely. It should be a fun one. You were in the Malmore Athletic Facility yesterday. If anybody's missing those interviews, they can find them on the Bama Central YouTube channel. Kalen DeBoer, Coach Ryan Grubb, and Coach Kane Womack all up there talking about the Missouri game and starting to spin us forward to the Tennessee game. Will Miller, what does the Tennessee game mean to you?
You know, I'm part of the generation, as you know, Joe, that didn't see Tennessee win it a lot when we were growing up. Nick Saban was hired at Alabama when I was 4 years old, and I turned five in the middle of his first season. They didn't lose to Tennessee until my 20th birthday when I was in attendance in Knoxville and saw him take the goalpost down for the first time of what became two times, because they did it again last year, this time right in front of me because I was a media member and I saw him do it from down there. So I've seen definitely a lot of the interesting moments in this rivalry over the last few years. The game in Tuscaloosa in 2023 where Alabama got revenge. A lot of these more noteworthy games have come in this short of an amount of time since I arrived in Tuscaloosa. So I've seen a lot of these memorable moments since I was in college and I graduated last December. And now you got the game coming up on Saturday with a lot of excitement and fanfare, as it always is. My dad, he hates Tennessee more than he hates Auburn. And I know that a lot of people are like that. I think certainly that I don't know that the rivalry has gotten as much shine as it probably could, considering how good, I mean, Alabama's good, but Tennessee has been really, really good this decade. And to think of the mess that they found themselves in at the beginning when they hired Josh Heupel and the job that he's done to turn it around, and really the year that they're having, I mean, they should have beat Georgia. I mean, this is a true heavyweight fight coming up this weekend, which the last few iterations of this rivalry have been, whereas previous games maybe weren't. But for me personally, to get back to the main point of your question, you know, I mean, I've always really enjoyed it, especially these last few games, just because of the increased stakes, the increased hype has been great. But it is always fun to see all the stuff float around about Gaudy Orange and the video, you know, the one that I'm talking about. It's been going around a lot. It goes around every year, things like that. It's just part of that essence of college football that we all love, the pageantry of college football that we all love. You can't replicate it anywhere else, and that's what it means to me. You can't get it anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about it. It means more to me than really any other rivalry game, just based on where I grew up in Chattanooga. I grew up in a time when Tennessee was really, really, really good, being born in 89. So I was at a ripe old age in 98 of just starting to get into football and really having a lot of Tennessee fan friends rub it in my face for many years makes me extra, a little extra excited about this week's game. Obviously, we try to keep our journalism hat on as best we can, but it does make me a little extra excited this week. And if there's anybody I can't stand seeing Alabama lose to, it's Tennessee for me. So before we keep going and get into this, I want to lead with our voicemails. We have a voicemail in the tank, and I appreciate everybody who calls, who listens to the show, shares it with their friends. We want to lead with our voicemails. You can call and leave your thoughts at 205-462-7340, extension 800. So let's go to the voicemail line and find out what our friend has to say.
Hey, guys. Cam here. Look, I'm not going to waste y'all's time with this past game. I think we all watched it. We all came away with what we thought. I mainly came to call for Mason Woods. I know he's apologized to Ty Simpson about what all he said this all offseason. But I really feel like he deserves another apology. Because without Ty Simpson and the way he played Saturday, we wouldn't have won this game. So, Mason Woods, what size jersey do you need? Because I'm going to order you a Ty Simpson jersey, and I want you to wear it every single episode you come on, bud. Roll Tide. Love the show. Y'all keep doing a great job. Thanks, guys.
Oh, man, Will, hold on 1 second. Well, I want to let Cam know that I've suspended Mason. I've suspended Mason all week because of all this off-season talk. He's suspended, but I will send this to send this portion, Cam, to Mason so that he calls in and leaves an apology. That'll be the only way he gets out of suspension because, golly, he's been magnificent this season. Will Miller, spin us back this past week to your experience in Columbia watching Ty Simpson throw, really, really deal in several situations, especially down the stretch for that 4th and 8 to Lozier Brooks. I know you wrote extensively about that. You asked Coach DeBoer about that as well. Spin us back to last week. We'll get Mason out of suspension if he calls and leaves an apology, another apology to Ty Simpson. What was your experience like, Will, up there in Missouri?
I've always liked Missouri ever since I was growing up. I really fell in love with that 2013 team. I got to see the 2014 team play Alabama in the SEC championship. So it's always been a team that I liked, but I never thought I would find myself in their stadium. And it's crazy, Joe, how life works out sometimes. Really great game. I thought it lived up to the billing. I mean, a lot of people were interested in this one, obviously, different narratives going around about it. People calling it a trap game, which I didn't think had any basis in fact. People saying maybe Missouri on home field could roll in the running game and maybe make this thing a bit of a different outcome than a lot of people expected. And then people on the other end, I think that a lot more people thought it would err on the side of what actually ended up happening. But the experience, you know, the crowd was, I mean, what you would expect it to be, right? The crowd was great. Missouri is, as I've said multiple times, really, really strong team. And I mean, I didn't think that either team played perfect. Missouri certainly didn't play perfect. If they played a little better, they had their chances to win the game. I mean, Alabama had their chances to separate the score by an even wider margin, but a really good time. And, you know, it felt to me as though Alabama maybe would be glad to not go back to Missouri for another 5 years after it had been 5 years since their last trip, because, you know, what Eli Drinkwitz has done and what they experienced on Saturday, they certainly got all they can handle, and they had their backs put against the wall. Ty Simpson, he was not impressed with how he played. Obviously, the SEC office was impressed with how he played. The job he's done this year has been remarkable in my book, and that those throws, some of those throws that he made. I mean, Coach DeBoer talked about it, just coming up, making the plays in the big moments. That's what Ty Simpson did. That throw to Mr. Brooks was absolutely perfect. I mean, you know, talk about the catch. I've talked about the catch. I will continue to talk about the catch and the true freshman coming up, absolutely massive. But in reality, that doesn't happen without a perfect ball from Ty Simpson. That's what he delivered under, really, I mean, maybe not literally on the play, but just in general, tremendous pressure. I mean, you know, that's a roll the dice play in every sense of the word. I mean, I can't even use a metaphor that I want to use because it's not super show appropriate. But I do feel like that is just an objective observer might say that call is, you know, I mean, I heard people describe that call, you know, people mentioned it to me. I mean, they didn't understand why Alabama would go for it in that situation, but Ty Simpson made the exact throw and the exact placement that he needed to make. And that's what he's done for this team this year. Majority of the time, it's a big part of why he's had success.
Yeah. So I've just really been impressed with Ty throughout the entire season. And, I think Ty has a very, very big opportunity this weekend, given what we've seen from Tennessee so far. You want to start spinning forward, Will? What do you think? You use the word heavyweight fight. And, you know, on paper, 6 versus 11, it does look like a heavyweight fight. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just on paper. But I don't know. I've always started studying Tennessee to the extent that I'm 3/4 of the way through the Arkansas game, and I'm looking at the stat sheets as well for, you know, team totals for the year. What do you see in Tennessee? Because I see a chance for Ty Simpson to absolutely explode this Saturday, especially if you get Ryan Williams healthy. If Ryan Williams is healthy on Saturday and you get the Ryan Williams, Isaiah Horton, Jeremy Bernard trio just really terrorizing this Tennessee secondary, I don't know. What do you see about Tennessee, and what do you think the opportunity is for Ty Simpson to have another, just continue to stack another big performance on the performances he's already shown this year?
I think the best part about Tennessee has nothing to do with Ty Simpson, and that's their receiving game, their offense, what Joey Aguilar has been able to do since he came over, and that whole Nico Iamaleava drama, the likes of which we've never seen. It's worked out to the benefit, I would say, of not Nico, but certainly of Joey and that of Tennessee. But that does still leave a whole other side of the ball, and that's the one that Ty Simpson and his friends are going to be dealing with. I mean, this is Ty Simpson's first really big rivalry game. It came up in Malmore yesterday. Our own Katie Windham asked Ryan Grubb about what he thought about his first big rivalry game since he'd come back to Alabama as the offensive coordinator. And, I mean, for Ty Simpson as the starter, it's his first thing, first situation, same as Ryan Grubb. And, I mean, I know that you, Joe, can empathize with Ty Simpson being from Tennessee. And Ty Simpson's going to be dealing with that same situation, coming to Alabama, playing for Alabama against Tennessee. Obviously, his dad, head coach up there in Tennessee in college. I mean, Ty Simpson is feeling a lot of same things that you're feeling, Joe. And I think that he's done a really good job of really blocking those kinds of things out. Part of it's being a coach's kid. I mean, you listen to this kid talk, you watch this kid, and, I mean, you can tell what he is. You can tell that, you know, he's a coach's kid, and he has been drilled and everything else. But my feeling is what he's shown in terms of the mental propensity just to feel like lock in is too cliched of a term, but I mean, he doesn't seem to let a moment get too big for him. And I think for him personally, this of all weekends is when that's going to be some of the most important.
Yeah, I loved Ryan Grubb. First, Katie, great job in the press conference yesterday. I loved how Ryan Grubb was confused yesterday. He goes, wait, I thought the Georgia game was a rivalry. No, no, no. Let's be clear. Georgia is not a rival of Alabama. Georgia is a really good team, a great program. And, you know, when they play, it becomes great games. And they've often played for high, high, high stakes, championships of all kinds, SECs and national championships. But Georgia is not Alabama's rival. Alabama is not Georgia's rival. They're not rivals in terms of SEC rivalries. It's Tennessee, it's Auburn, it's LSU, and you can even throw Mississippi State. And I guess the conference office is throwing Mississippi State in, making them a permanent opponent. And so Ryan Grubb goes, oh, I thought this was a rival. He's going to experience this week to another degree, another step up from what he experienced in the Georgia week. Ryan Grubb is, and Ty Simpson as well. And Ty is familiar with it, being from the area, being from Tennessee, and being in the program for the last 4 years. Like, he's used to it. But for Ryan Grubb, we need to make this clear. It's not Georgia's game was not a rivalry game. It was a huge road game, massive, massive road game. I don't want to undersell how big of a game it was, but it doesn't fall under the category of rivalry. I think the stadium, you know, we've been on the stadium conversation all year long, whether the stadium's going to be up for a game and whether the crowd is it'd be affecting the game or reacting to the game. I think the Bryant-Denny Stadium crowd often reacts to the game. And Theo yesterday, Will, I know you heard it since you watched and listened to the show. Theo was pretty disparaging to the Alabama fan base after seeing. He's like, oh man, in Missouri they never sat down the whole time. Theo went and he was in the Missouri student section. Mm-hmm. He said they never sat down the whole time. He said that doesn't happen in Tuscaloosa. You know, in Tuscaloosa everybody gets rah-rah about a sack and rah-rah about a touchdown and rah-rah about a first down, but not the consistent energy that you usually see. Well, Tennessee, it will be a consistent, angry, kind of energized crowd. I'm excited, especially being at 6:30. You're going to have a lot of inebriated Alabama fans ready to scream and yell, answering Kalen DeBoer's call from yesterday. But I think Ty Simpson has a huge opportunity. Look at this Tennessee team. Tennessee last in the conference. Last in the conference in pass defense. Giving up 257 yards per game, and that's adding in their games with ETSU and UAB. Like, you played Syracuse, you beat them, you beat ETSU, you lost to Georgia by three in overtime. You beat UAB, which who cares? You beat Mississippi State in overtime, and then you beat Arkansas as well. So I don't really know how good this Tennessee team is yet. I do think, as you mentioned, the passing offense for Tennessee is pretty dang good. Look at their stats. Number one in the conference in passing offense. Alabama, number three. Tennessee, 317 yards per game, 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions for their passing offense. Now, their passing defense, we just said, last in the league. They've allowed 9 touchdowns. They've generated 4 interceptions, so not bad there, getting some picks. But 257 yards a game against that schedule, I don't really know. Now, where's Alabama? Alabama's second in the conference in passing defense. 135 yards per game. Now, you got to include that Alabama's played ULM, and Wisconsin was a pretty inept passing offense as well. But 135 yards a game, number two, just behind Oklahoma. Alabama's allowed 5 passing touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the season. I feel like it does say 6 versus 11, and I will be watching way more Tennessee than I already have. I've watched the 3/4 of the Arkansas game, like I said. But at a 7.5-point line, I don't know. I think this has a chance for Alabama to really, really make a statement with a passing defense. You get a couple stops for Tennessee, and then you're ripping and rolling offensively Alabama-wise. I think this game might have a chance to get out of hand this Saturday.
I certainly think that's what Alabama fans are going to want to see after these last few years of, you know, close games and Tennessee winning the game. And, I mean, even in 2021, the final score doesn't really reflect what happened in the football game. And that was another night game at Bryant-Denny Stadium. You know, 2019 would have been in that direction had Trayvon Diggs not had that huge fumble return that – a lot of people still remember in that first game with the LED lights. I mean, there are a lot of people my age that just don't understand as much about this Tennessee rivalry. And like we talked about at the top of the show, what it means to people. I mean, this is a game Alabama is going to want to blow out. I mean, they're going to want to blow them out. It's a true rival, but it's a team that, you know, I think that, and I mean, I made the comparison to somebody the other day or yesterday that, in some of these cases, when Tennessee wins these big games and gets up on this pedestal, I've said that it's kind of a new money situation, and that for the better part of this century, or at least over the last, you know, number of years, you know, decade and a half or so, and they've had a lot of mediocre years and a couple of downright bad ones. I mean, not a huge measure of success until Josh Heupel, who again has done a tremendous job resurrecting that program. And I mean, how fast he got out of that mess is unbelievable to me. But you have to remember, you know, Tennessee still hasn't beaten Alabama in Tuscaloosa, you know, in more than 20 years. It's a hard place for Tennessee. It's a hard place for anybody to win. It's a hard place for Tennessee to win. And it's a game that Alabama really is going to want to, like you said, Joe, make a statement, because they've been in a lot of these close games, you know, close game with Georgia, close game with Missouri this past weekend, close game with Vanderbilt, even though it ended up being a two possession final score. I mean, Alabama wants to run away from somebody. And I think in a lot of the players' minds, especially, and maybe most importantly, depending on who you ask, Ty Simpson, this is going to be the game they want to do it. Joe, you're on mute.
My microphone's kind of plugging in and unplugging here while we're in parts unknown. So it's a good call there. I do think it's going to be a big game. What do you think about the Joey Aguilar acquisition, the late acquisition, how he's playing for Tennessee this season? Obviously, as we said, leading the number one passing offense in the SEC this season. But how he's come into Tennessee, really embraced the program, learned the program. 1,600 passing yards for Aguilar, 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's only taken 3 sacks on the season. He's rushed for another 117 yards and 2 more touchdowns. So he's responsible for 16 touchdowns this year. What have you thought about Joey Aguilar's play at Tennessee?
As good as he's been, I think he shows you the importance of a player who wants to be there. In this era, there's been less of them than ever before in terms of somebody who's just there to rep whatever logo it is on their chest. And I think with Joey Aguilar, you see that, a kid who wants to be here, a kid who's fired up for the opportunity. You see what it means to him, and when he goes out there and lays it all on the field. And like I said earlier, Tennessee got the better end of the deal with the Nico Iamaliava situation. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people maybe on the front end thought that would happen. They essentially did a quarterback swap with UCLA, and I can't imagine how glad Joey Aguilar must be that he got the heck out of there with the benefit of hindsight. But the year they're having. But, I mean, that's what he's brought as much as his play on the field. I think it's rejuvenating. I think it's refreshing for a lot of people in the fan base at Tennessee. You know, after Nico Iamaliava was basically like, oh, give me more money. I mean, a lot of the money, or I say a lot of, maybe, I mean, a good amount of the money in this NIL era is coming from fans. And obviously you still have your boosters and your power brokers and power players and whomever. But fans are, in various capacities, you know, going into their pocketbooks, going into their wallets to help fund and donate to, et cetera, NIL. And I think when you're a fan and you see what Nico Iamaliava had said, if you're a fan of Tennessee, if you've donated to Tennessee in any capacity, you're probably going to feel like you're getting rubbed the wrong way. I can totally understand that. But in Joey Aguilar, you know, you see a guy that's appreciative to play for Tennessee, and it translates into his on-field performances. And yeah, it's helping him win ball games. You know, number one passing offense in the league, that's no joke. It's helping him succeed.
All right, let's look at an area where that it might be trouble for Alabama, and that is in pass protection. Because you look at Tennessee, they're number one in the SEC in sacks generated, 26 sacks. Oklahoma, number two, 22. Alabama all the way down to 11, only 9 sacks on the season for the Alabama defense. But 26 sacks generated for the Tennessee defense. But look a little closer here. 3 sacks against ETSU. Okay, that's about normal. 3 sacks against UAB. 5 against Syracuse. Okay, 5 against Syracuse and 5 against Arkansas. How many coaches has Tennessee played, or programs that Tennessee's played, that have fired their coaches? Sam Pittman and Trent Dilfer now, two of the arc of Tennessee's opponents, have fired their coaches. You've given up 10 sacks against Arkansas and Syracuse. Syracuse in the opening week of the season. 10 of your 26 against them. And then you take what? That's 11 of your 26 against Syracuse, ETSU, and UAB. I do think that I'm watching Tennessee in this Arkansas game call a lot of pressures. Tim Banks is calling a lot of pressures. But I don't know. I mean, I think that this is an area where if you can keep Ty Simpson upright. Alabama is at 11th in the conference in sacks allowed with 13. Let's see. Tennessee is second or is tied for first in the conference in sacks allowed, only 4. Now, obviously, they've got a pretty good system getting the ball out and playing fast and trying to get you off your game defensively. But 13 for Alabama, you've allowed 13 sacks. Will Alabama's offensive line, and what do you think about their offensive line? I mean, it's been in flux all season long. You've got Michael Carroll comments yesterday. He's really close to being a full-time starter on a program yesterday. I know you heard it. I said that I think that this is the week where he does become the full-time starter. But that was before the press conferences even started. And then I think Wilkin Formby is going to be bumped into right guard duties along with Jaden Roberts, along with Geno Vandermark. And so I think you'll continue to see rotation at the right guard position. But overall, a lot of these sacks, I mean, in the Vanderbilt game, I think you could argue at least 2 and maybe even 3 of the 4 sacks were on Ty Simpson. You go back to the Florida State week, and obviously that was a very tough outing for the Alabama offense. But I think that Ty Simpson, you're holding on to the ball just a hair too long, which, okay, that happens. Well, what do you think about the pass protection, Alabama's offensive line to date this year, where it's shaping up, and how – oops. I think it looks like I lost. Looks like I lost Will. Will just left the program. Said I don't want to talk about offensive line at all. I think they're actually on an upward trajectory. I think that they're on an upward trajectory and kind of finding some continuity. You good? I lost you, sir. On an upward trajectory and going to perform fairly well. Because when I looked at Tennessee yesterday against Arkansas, when I looked at Tennessee against Arkansas, I saw a defensive front that used a lot of pressures. Arkansas's offensive line got confused up front. And look, the Arkansas is a program that is just absolutely in major flux right now. You lose your head coach. Bobby Petrino obviously steps up, so the offense stays the same. Like, you're not changing offensive and defensive stuff that much, but you got fired for a reason. They're a bad football team. They're a bad football team who has played fairly non-competitive. Now, I do give them credit. They played pretty competitive up in Tennessee this past weekend, playing the Vols to a 3-point game. Tennessee stretched it out a little bit right to open the fourth quarter, and Arkansas scored late to make the game look a little closer than it was, the 3-point margin. But it was still a competitive ball game throughout the three quarters. I think Arkansas shot themselves in the foot with turnovers up there in Neyland Stadium. All right, we got Will back. We'll see if we can bring him right. How we doing? There we go. There we go. You look good. You look great. Sound great. Let's hear it. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Perfect. Got me? Perfect. Yep, I got you. So I was asking you about the offensive line. Alabama's offensive line, where it's been, where it's going, where you see it going, and how it matches up, or how you feel about it matching up against a team that runs a lot of blitz game, runs a lot of stunts, and calls a lot of pressures in order to generate these 26 sacks.
Ryan Grubb did get asked about that yesterday, about how Ty Simpson has done against blitzes. And you're certainly going to see how right his assessment was come this weekend. I mean, you went through, Joe, the stats about the sacks in the SEC. And, I mean, Oklahoma, you look at Oklahoma, for example, and their stats are kind of buoyed by the one game, the performance that they had at home against Auburn. So for as much as, you know, and I mean, I don't think you're trying to cherry pick by any means going through the Tennessee games against like Arkansas and UAB. But if you want to do that, you certainly have to acknowledge like the other teams, like Oklahoma having the one big game against Auburn. The worry that you have with Alabama is just that how much rotation that they've done with the offensive line. I mean, I think it's pretty clear on some of these options. I mean, from Michael Carroll's standpoint, I think it's evident right now that he's the best option at the right tackle spot. I mean, Jaden Roberts getting back into it this past weekend against Missouri. I mean, I think that the Roberts-Carroll configuration there on the right side has been the best one that I've seen. Alabama obviously trotting out multiple different combinations on the offensive line so far. And I really doubt they're done rotating. I'd be very surprised if they were. But, I mean, watch who starts at right tackle for this game against Tennessee this weekend. I mean, I think that's going to tell you a lot about where things sit at this moment in time. And I didn't even answer your question. I think that this unit has the capabilities to perform against Tennessee's blitzing and what they might run. But again, like I was kind of alluding to, the question is, how much does the rotation impact it? How much does the putting together different units impact it? And that's going to be something to watch based on how many combinations they use. How does each one do? But I think that if you put the best five out there, which I think that maybe people have in their minds what that best five is, they can do it.
Yes, I think there's a huge opportunity for Alabama this week. If the offensive line plays adequately, really communicates on these stunts well. Now we'll see what happens with Jam Miller and the concussion protocol. You're thinking about running back pass protection. He did compliment Daniel Hill in pass protection yesterday, Ryan Grubb, that is, and said he was getting healthier. And so if the offensive line, if the pass protection communicates well, I think that Ty Simpson could absolutely go nuclear this weekend in Bryant-Denny Stadium. And so I'm really, really looking forward to it. Well, let's tackle one more football aspect from yesterday's conversation in Mount Moore, and really the Missouri game as we spin forward to the Tennessee game, and then let's go into some basketball, because it is basketball SEC Media Days up there in Birmingham today. You're going to see Hunter Seibert, you're going to see Theo Fernandez, and Henry Sklar up there in Birmingham for us at BamaCentral.com. Pay attention to the Bama Central YouTube channel. I know the internet's going to be tough right there in the Grand Bohemian Hotel. It usually is. Those guys will get videos and will get articles up there on the Bama Central website as they can throughout the day from all the comments. Alabama goes at 2:00 today, I believe. Alabama goes at 2:00 today up there in the Grand Bohemian Hotel. You're going to see Nate Oates. You're going to see LeBaron Filon and several Latrell Wrightsell. Is he taking Houston? Well, he's taking one more. I can't remember who the third one is off the top of my head, but we'll talk about that in just I think, okay, great. I mean, why wouldn't it be Houston, Latrell, and LeBaron Filon?
Thing that I had if I was the coach.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about that in just a second. But one more football just tidbit or aspect is on Keon Keeley. Cade Womack gets asked yesterday about Keon Keeley. We saw him in the game this past weekend against Missouri. Really, his most significant action of the whole season, his most significant action of his entire career, third down rusher, third down bandit, third down wolf, kind of doing that pseudo defensive end. And I think you get him on the field with LT Overton, you get him on the field with Yonzi Pierre, and you get him rushing the passer, especially late in the game, in the second half. I thought Alabama was doing a good job getting to Bo Pribula with four instead of committing extra defenders to the pass rush. And I think Keon Keeley was a big part of that, obviously getting the sack, and he and LT were all over it on that particular play. Just your reaction to seeing Keon Keeley play and what you thought about Cade Womack's comments, basically saying, you know, he's been growing to this point. He's going to continue to have a role. You know the injury situation at the Wolf spot with Jamarian Latham and Quay Russo being out. You know what's going on there. The depth kind of eroded there. What have you thought? What did you think on Saturday when you saw Keon actually getting thrown into these third down packages? I think it was LT Overton after the game saying, oh, I didn't know he was going to be starting on third down packages until yesterday. And I just told him, you know, go get it. So your reaction in the stadium. And then what do you think about his trajectory, especially, you know, this week as he goes into a big rivalry game?
Oh, you know, I watched him warm up, and when he played in the game, I mean, he looked really good. Like you said, Joe, his most significant reps. And he's gotten on the field this season before this game in Columbia. But just I mean, looking kind of like, I mean, for a guy that's just been waiting on it, you know, he's been looking for it, looking for that big opportunity. And you mentioned the injuries at the Wolf linebacker position. I mean, that may be the spot that he finds himself in contributing, depending on where they put him, like you said, what packages they want to run. But I mean, and Yanze Pierce playing like an absolute beast. In addition to that, I feel like this defense has gotten what it has asked for from the players that have needed to step up. Keon Keeley being one of them, Yanze Pierre being another. I mean, if that's any indicator of this defense's depth, then Alabama's probably going to be okay. I mean, Keon Keeley's a guy that's been in the program. He's not a new face just to the program, but this being some of his first impactful moments, I mean, you hope if you're him that it's only up from here. And certainly the comments in Mal Moore yesterday by Kane Womack and Kalen DeBoer give some indication that that's the direction that things are heading.
Absolutely. So we're hanging out with Will Miller. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at RealWBMiller. You follow all of his coverage, particularly in baseball season. But right now it's football and basketball season is right upon us. So make sure you follow him at RealWBMiller. Read him at BamaCentral.com. Will, what do you think? Who are y'all going to hear from today over in the Mal Moore facility? Obviously, we don't know. It's guessing. But you'll be able to see some player interviews on the Bama Central YouTube channel today. Who do you think they're going to bring up there?
You know, I would imagine Ty Simpson probably comes. He's a media fixture and does a great job. Ty's a tremendous interview. Joe, I know you guys had that moment a few weeks back with the Cowboys game and Tyler Booker. That was a really good moment there. And so I would anticipate him probably coming. I hope Yanze comes. I can't recall. I personally have not heard Yanze talk before. Justin Jefferson recently made his debut at player interviews. So, I mean, in this type of game, I mean, there's a lot of different players that you could pick from. I mean, Jam Miller, normally a good interview. I absolutely hate it for him, the concussion after he already spent some time on the shelf with those collarbone injuries. But we'll see. It should be a fun day over at the complex today.
Absolutely, and something from the Tennessee side to keep an eye on throughout the week. Starting running back Deshaun Bishop. Deshaun Bishop has really, really been great this year for Tennessee. 481 yards, 5 touchdowns on the ground. Now they've also got Star Thomas, basically splitting carries, 63 and 62 carries. But Deshaun Bishop has basically been the starter. Suffered kind of an injury at the end of that Arkansas game. Josh Heupel saying that he does expect him. I feel like Deshaun will be ready to go in this one. Kind of leaving it at that. We'll have to watch the Wednesday injury report to find out, you know, if he's anything less than probable. It did look like a kind of. Well, yeah, Ryan as well. But this is the Tennessee side. It did look like a kind of a strange a tackle, kind of a hip drop tackle on Deshaun Bishop in that Arkansas game. So I'll be looking to see kind of how he goes. I wonder if Josh Heupel is just playing some media games. Oh, I feel like he'll be ready to go. Alabama has to prepare for him. They're going to prepare for him anyways. I wonder if he'll really be available this week in Tuscaloosa. You got thoughts on Ryan Williams? I mean, Decoy Ryan on Saturday. You got thoughts on his health or any insight on his current health?
Well, it was his first game of his college career that he played this past Saturday, and he didn't record a catch. I mean, to me, that's somewhat telling. Coach DeBoer, talking after the game, said he got dinged up against Vanderbilt a little bit early in that game, and that it was kind of a carryover from that. And it's normal, obviously, in football to get some bumps and some bruises. And Ryan did come to the media availability last week as well prior to the Missouri game. So, I mean, I'm just curious to see how he's utilized this weekend. I think if he's on the report or not, which I don't know if he will be just because he was probable the whole time last week and then he ended up playing in the game. So I don't know that we'll see him on the report. I wouldn't guess that we would, but it will be very interesting to see come Wednesday night, tomorrow night, whether he's on there or not.
Absolutely. So we will pay attention to that as the week continues. Let's spin our attention to basketball. But first, I do want to tell everybody about our brand new sponsor, Strength Roofing and Siding. Call them today at 205-858-9050 for all of your siding and your roofing needs. I mean, goodness gracious, you need to have a solid roof on your home. It gives you peace of mind, protects all your stuff. You don't want water damage. When severe weather strikes, your roof is your home's first line of defense. Storms with high winds, heavy rain and hail can cause serious damage that isn't always visible from the ground. At Strength Roofing and Siding, we specialize in storm and hail damage, roof repair, and restoration across central Mississippi and Alabama, providing fast inspections, expert repair, and insurance claim support to help you recover quickly and protect your home. A professional assessment from a trusted roofer is essential. With over 45 years of serving Alabama and Mississippi, Strength Roofing and Siding provides expert storm damage repair and replacement. Call them now for your free, no-risk roof inspection at 205-858-9050. My friend Zach Guffey is going to join me on the show tomorrow. He'll tell you about where he's been in Alabama, what roofs he's been inspecting, what he's seeing, but he's really going to talk some sports with us tomorrow on the program. Call Zach and his team at Strength Roofing and Siding at 205-858-9050.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
All right, let's finish this bad boy up, Will, with some basketball because it is upon us. I think 21 days until Alabama basketball really kicks off. Obviously, this Thursday night, Bama in Boutwell against Florida State gets an exhibition. So it'll be your first chance to see the Crimson Tide in action, in live action against another team. We were there for just a little bit for some practice viewing last week, and the team looks long and athletic and looks like they're working hard. Obviously, just 15 minutes that we were able to see in a controlled environment. Yesterday, the preseason AP poll comes out. Yesterday, the preseason SEC predicted order of finish comes out. And on Sunday, I think it was Sunday or Saturday night, the new KenPom rankings, the Kenneth Pomeroy rankings are released. So we'll just go right through these, Will, and I want to get your reactions and your thoughts to the predictions, to the preseason rankings, and really what you see in this basketball team ahead of the new year. Alabama in KenPom, which obviously we know is a highly acclaimed analytics site. Alabama is 23rd in preseason KenPom. Just going through the SEC teams ahead of them, Florida, number 2, Kentucky, number 4, Tennessee, number 9. Blech. You keep on going down the list. Vanderbilt at number 19, and then it's Alabama at 23. Let me see. Did I just pass Auburn? Control F Auburn at 31 on the KenPom rankings. So Alabama about middle of the pack as far as SEC teams go, still in the top 25 in KenPom. And obviously, that will change as the season goes on and as more information is put into the computer. So that's just kind of an early look at them. As far as SEC predicted order of finish, is this coaches or media? This is media. Yeah, media predicts Alabama as 4th. Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn. So, yeah, Vanderbilt got a lot of love in KenPom, but Vanderbilt 11th in the preseason predicted order of finish. So just start right there, and then we'll look at the AP poll. What do you think about Alabama's kind of 4th in the SEC preseason prognostication and kind of KenPom's ranking of having them in the early 20s?
I think it's totally realistic. Alabama losing a lot of production, and I mean, they've done that the last couple of years, but you know, Mark Sears not being on the team this year, big source of obviously scoring. I mean, that's your star point guard right there that you have to replace. And you do get Latrell Wrightsell back from injury, which helps you a lot. Some new faces, some different players on this team than last year. It's a different makeup. It's a different look. I mean, obviously no more Chris Youngblood. He didn't play at this part of the year last year, but it now looks like he's about to turn around and make the Thunder, which is turning into a really, really great story. LeBaron Fylon being back, obviously, is your big thing. Didn't look like things were heading in that direction. And then, bang, one summer night, it's LeBaron Fylon is coming back to Alabama. And, I mean, it's going to be absolutely huge for this team. Aiden Holloway coming back, one of the best shooters out there. Houston Millett, I think, will have a really good year. Aiden Sherrell, I think, will have a really, really, really good year. I mean, Amari Allen getting a lot of love early in the preseason. I think this is a really, really good team that analysts will really like how it looks. And obviously, we haven't had tip-off yet on the season, and the SEC play not coming for another little while after that. But this Alabama team, for as many questions as they have in terms of what they're replacing, lost a few guys to the transfer portal as well. I think that there's also a lot that if you are looking at these teams, you might say, oh, Alabama's still going to be really good. Alabama's still going to be one of those teams that when you get down to it, they're going to be there. I think that's what I see from this team. I'm not shocked to see them in the top 25 in KenPom, which is an analytics tool that I actually like. I like KenPom a lot better than I like the net. I really am. It depends on the day with the net, in my opinion, but I digress. For the SEC poll, I mean, I'm not buying stock in Arkansas. So, I mean, I see Arkansas being, you know, right there with Alabama in the AP, right there near them in the SEC finish order. You know, Kentucky, they better hope they take a step forward in year two under Mark Pope. Florida with a lot of expectations, obviously, after they won the title and were the best team in college basketball at the end of last year. I don't know anybody would disagree with that statement that they actually watched any college basketball and down the stretch in the month of March. Alabama wants to win the SEC. That's the expectation that's been set with Nate Oates. They've done it multiple times. That's what their goal is going into each season. They've had opportunities to do it, and that's what they want to do. I mean, to me, any team that's in that top, you know, four or five teams, theoretically can do it. The ball's going to bounce a certain way. But Alabama wants to be one of those teams that's in the contention for that SEC regular season championship, playing down the stretch and winning that SEC tournament. That's what they want to do. And I mean, I think that's something, again, that they're going to strive for. It's not going to, that much is not going to fall off just because Mark Sears isn't there anymore, or a couple of guys transferred out going to other schools. They're still going to want to be one of those teams that's contending to win the SEC.
And Alabama in the preseason AP poll coming in at 15th. You look at the SEC squads, you got Florida, same deal. Florida at 3, Kentucky at 9, Arkansas at 14, and then Alabama at 15. I'm throwing this at you, Will. Are these preseason prognostications, are the media members afraid to buy into kind of buy into the current makeup of the roster because of, well, you lost Mark Sears, you lost Grant Nelson, you lost Chris Youngblood. You can't be as good this year. Just by default, instead of, because I look at the makeup of this roster, and especially with what we saw this past weekend, really at media availability. I guess it was last Monday, a week ago, at media availability. The makeup of the roster looks balanced on the floor. We didn't even see Noah Williamson or Latrell Wright. So obviously he said Noah Williamson was a little sick that morning and Latrell still in recovery. But you've got really athletic looking bigs that are on the floor right now in Aiden Sherrell. And I think this Collins Onyedziaka kid is going to really, really surprise a lot of people. I think that what he looked like last Monday was just a load, a wide load, and a very verbal talker on the defensive side of the floor. You combine that with savvy guard play with LeBaron, savvy guard play with Aiden Holloway. If Houston Millett becomes what you always thought Houston Millett was going to be, obviously hampered by injuries, hampered by knee issues, really ever since he's been in Tuscaloosa, hopefully he ends up having a healthy season. Latrell has a healthy recovery. You just mentioned Amari Allen, and I'm not even saying anything about Taylor Bolbowen. I think that people, the media often just, you know, we're hyper fixated on Alabama. And so if you had to ask me about, you know, throw any SEC team out there, Georgia, South Carolina, LSU, Texas's basketball team, Oklahoma's basketball team. I couldn't give you an educated answer. I couldn't give it to you. So you look at Kentucky and obviously what they've done in the transfer portal. Of course, I'm going to get rank them highly. And Florida, yeah, you're the national champion. You're the reigning national champion. And they were an absolute just juggernaut at the end of the year last year, especially in the beat Alabama coming into Tuscaloosa last season in the regular season matchup as well. So like, I think that there's just a little element of casual right here when you go through these media predictions, when you go through these preseason predictions. I wonder if Alabama is, okay, we like Nate Oates. We know he's a good coach. He's made a Final Four. We know LeBaron Filon is a kind of a, you know, fringe lottery pick or definitely a draft pick, a draftee this year. Is there a little element of, oh, we're just casual. We want to give them respect at fourth, but no way you can be better than Kentucky and Florida.
I don't know if casual is the right word, but I mean, a new look roster is always going to bring questions before the ball starts bouncing. And again, not totally new, but new in just the right places. I mean, you're going to, you know, yeah, obviously it's not going to be a new player, but you're going to have a new starting point guard. That's a big deal. You're replacing a lot of front court production. Grant Nelson gone, Cliff Amore gone. I mean, you're replacing a lot of front court production, which I do think that Alabama has the guys that are going to step in and do that. But in reality, there's always going to be those questions when you have so much new makeup at from a starting standpoint with those positions. And I think that's what you're seeing. I don't think that Alabama really has been snubbed in any way from what I've seen from an analytics perspective or from a rankings perspective. There are questions. I mean, everybody has those questions. I have them. What they're going to be like, how good are they really going to be? I think they have the potential. They have a really high ceiling. They have the potential to be a really, really good team. I mean, Alabama's gone to the Sweet 16 or higher in each of the last 3 years. I think this team could make a Sweet 16, and you never know what's going to happen in March. But I think this team
Final Four.
I think this team's got the ability to be one of those teams that's in the picture late. And, I mean, preseason rankings, you know, you talk about them in any sport. I mean, do they matter? I mean, you tell me. I wouldn't say that they do. I really don't think that they do. They're for TV purposes. They're to entertain. I mean, it's fun to talk about them. Don't get me wrong. I'll do it a lot. I do a lot of talking about the rankings in the preseason each time, and that's not going to stop me. But I don't think they end up mattering a whole heck of a lot. You're going to see a lot of teams, cough, cough, North Carolina, for example, recently, that just don't meet the expectations for whatever reason. And if you're Alabama, you sure hope that that's not you. I don't think it's going to be. Alabama's a top 25 team. But in terms of the preseason, I don't know how much it matters.
Well, he's Will Miller, and we've had a lot of fun today on a Tuesday. Will, tell everybody about what you're going to be up to this week. Obviously, you're going into Mount Moore Athletic Facility here in just a few hours. Tell everybody what you're going to be up to this week and where they can find all your coverage of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Absolutely. You can find me on socials at RealWBMiller. And this week, Alabama-Tennessee week, going to be dialed in. We'll have a lot of basketball stuff on our site this week as well, Joe, like you mentioned with Media Days and then the Boutwell exhibition coming up. It's going to be a lot. If you're an Alabama fan, you can't miss all our work on BamaCentral.com. That's where you can find all my work, all my colleagues' work. We're going to have you covered on the Alabama athletics front all week, all weekend, and beyond.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Will, for your time today. We can't wait to get back into town and help with the coverage. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I'll see you soon, man.
Absolutely. He's Will Miller, and this has been the Joe Gaither Show. We want to thank all our sponsors, Derek Daniels State Farm Insurance and Strength Roofing and Siding. Once again, call Strength Roofing and Siding for your free roof inspection, 205-858-9050. We're going to be back with you with Zach Guffey tomorrow from Strength Roofing and Siding. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about this Missouri game, talking about this Tennessee matchup. Zach's going to give you a little fan perspective on what the Tennessee game means to him, maybe some of his good Tennessee memories. as well. So I cannot wait to keep the week going. We'll have Theo back on the program on Thursday. Cam, I really appreciate you watching and you calling. We suspended Mason until he calls in on the voicemail line and apologizes to Ty Simpson as well. He's out in the doghouse writing up his apology right now. So you can call on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'll get back with Mason very, very soon. We'll have a fun Football Friday, and we'll have a great rest of the week right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.